And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, this week, I'm just teaching from a very ancient prayer, contemplative prayer. There were the sorrowful mysteries. And there were five of them, a part of this contemplative prayer, the ancient church. The mystery of yesterday, we talked about the agonizing in the garden. Today, we're going to talk about the scourging of Christ. Tomorrow, the crown of thorns, the carrying of the cross on Thursday, and the crucifixion on Friday. And when we pray these prayers, when we hear these lessons, the things that I pray for is that, Lord, I am in union with you. May I walk in union with you in terms of these realities. Yesterday, in looking at his agonizing in the garden, I prayed again this morning, Lord, may I walk in union with your surrendered heart. If Christ is my life, our capacity to surrender at the highest level flows from our union with his surrendered heart. And today we're going to talk about the scourging of Christ. One of the things I've learned over the years, and at this age, learning more and more and more, and that is what I believe can't be based on what I've experienced. It's got to be based on the Word and the Word alone. That's so important for us. Because if we believe based on just somebody else's testimony, our own experience or feelings, we'll adjust the scriptures to fit our experience. That's the reason so many believers for so long resisted charismatic realities, things like speaking in tongues, because it wasn't their experience and it made them feel guilty and uncomfortable, insecure to think that there's something out there I haven't experienced and therefore I have to change. So what we did was just changed the word so it fit our experience. And I think this is especially true with what I'm going to share with you today. I'll read the scripture to you. There's not much to read because there's not much said about it. And yet, in history, we've made such a big deal out of it. Again, we referred to yesterday the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And in any other like drama that depicts what Christ went through in the Passion Week, the scourging is one of the things that's most dramatically portrayed. And we get what happened in the scourging by what we know was the normal experience in scourging, when there was a Roman scourging, not from Scripture. Because in Luke, it just says he was handed over to suffering. And in John and in Matthew and Mark, all that it says was, and he was scourged. Doesn't say anything else. Which is kind of shocking when there's so much drama in the things we portray about the scourging that there's not more said about it in Scriptures. I'll give you just one of the scriptures. This is in Matthew 27. And then he, Pilate, released Barabbas for them, but Jesus he scourged and delivered over to be crucified. That's it. Now there's much about the crowning, the stripping, the beating, but not much about the scourging, which is really weird in light of the fact that other than the cross, and maybe even in some ways more than at the cross, Jesus experienced more physical suffering and pain. There's some place in the gospel where it mentions, you know, we know that Pilate wanted to release Jesus. He thought him to be innocent. And one of the things he did was he surrendered Jesus over to scourging in hopes that that would satisfy the Jews. Though many, many people were killed in Roman scourging, which was different than just the 39 lashes that Jews would give. This was a Roman scourging, not a Jewish scourging. There's a big difference. But it says in this verse, he handed him over for scourging and crucifixion. He had to know that it might not work. So he was already prepared for Jesus' crucifixion. So I think about that. I was thinking, Lord, why didn't you say more about this? Because we discovered yesterday, and Jesus is praying in the garden three different times, agonizing. The first thing he prayed, Lord, if there's any way for this cup to pass, nevertheless, thy will be done. And the cup he was talking about was carrying all the human suffering and pain and misery of man's inhumanity to man, Satan's destruction of mankind that Jesus saw in the garden. That's why he was agonizing and full of great grief. And also the fact he was going to carry that in his humanity, not as deity, in his humanity. But the second time he prayed, "Lord, if this can only be removed by me drinking this, then be it done to me according to your will. Be it done to me according to your will." And he said that a second time in third prayer. And again, what we said yesterday is Jesus looked at this human suffering, human pain, human misery, mankind's destruction at the hands of Satan. He said, if that's the only way this can be removed, is by me taking all that on myself, then be it done to me. This choice was a choice of love in the end. Because he knew somebody had to carry that away. Somebody had to pay for all that. So he didn't just pay, he bore it all. Somebody had to represent all of humanity. Well, we see that same theme throughout the whole mystery, sorrowful mysteries, the whole Holy Week reality. And again, in this story of scourging, and when I saw, again, that he just doesn't mention it much. He just doesn't say much about the scourging. That was remarkably brutal. As you know, the stories that they would have, it was a short whip, a Roman whip. Usually would have three things at the end, not nine. That's the Jewish thing. But Jews also didn't tie bones and bar bearings and pieces of lead on the end like the Romans did. And their striping was limitless. And what it would do, of course, those little ball bearings or those little pieces of lead would just cause extraordinary bruising and breaking of skin to the bone. The bone chips would shred to where even the organs were exposed. Part of the scourging was because of just humiliation and mocking, but also they wouldn't last very long on the cross. They would have to wait around for a day or so for people to die. They were almost dead by the time they were crucified. It was this amazingly cruel thing that they did. And they were scourged naked. And they were tied to either a pillar in the sort of the praetorium area of Pilate's, or they had this portable thing they would bring out to the middle. I'm not sure what happened. And they would tie you like this, and then you were scourged publicly. Naked. You know, after that, then they put a robe on him, put a crown of thorns on him, put a reed in his hand like a scepter, and he went before Pilate, though still naked under all that. See, one of the things that's interesting, we'll see it again tomorrow, is that Jesus suffered great humiliation. But he took our humiliation. That's part of our pain that he took. When he saw humanity, and as he walked as a human on the earth, he saw the humiliation that human beings experience as a result of their fallenness, as a result of the oppression of the enemy. So the shame and the humiliation that we bring on ourselves as fallen people, Christ took that also. But in light of the brutality of the scourging, and just asking the Lord again, "Lord, why didn't you say more about it in Scripture? We seem to make such a big deal of it." And he says this, "Seal your heart for love, for love of God is strong as death. Its jealousy is severe as Sheol, its flashes are flashes of fire. The very flame of the Lord, many waters cannot quench love. No rivers overflow. There's nothing you can do to make it stop. If a man were to give all of the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised." And the reason he didn't say more about that is he wanted to make a point. I love you so much, I would have done much more than just that to conquer your heart for me, to rescue you from your fallenness as a human being. He doesn't make a big deal out of it, because it was like, of course I would go through all this for you. It was, again, God's choice of love. And at the cross, when Jesus said, "It's finished," he was saying to the Father, "We've done it." Throughout this whole process, we've revealed how much you really love us. That we would go through this and then say, as the song says, "Oh, that was nothing. I would have done more." Just an extraordinary thing to me. Extraordinary. That's why it says in Isaiah 53, he was like a lamb before the slaughter, and he uttered no complaints when he was being scourged that way and beaten and almost dead, organs exposed. He didn't utter any complaints. It says in Matthew 20, he prophesied, "When we go to Jerusalem, I will be scourged and mocked and put to death. He went into that with eyes wide open. But here's the thing I want you to see, is that not just out of his great love, but what he accomplished. I don't understand all this. All I can do, and I've been looking at this for 40 years almost, but I'll just say what Scripture says. Surely our griefs he himself bore. And the word griefs there is a Hebrew word for griefs or also sickness. And our sorrows and our pains, physical pains, emotional pains, relational pains, the pains of humiliation and disgrace and shame, he carried. Yet ourselves, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our wholeness fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, while he was being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. And that's not the word for sozo, whole. It's the word for healing. Again, let me just make it really clear that I'm not really clear about all this. There's a lot I don't understand. I've gone back and forth about a lot of things. I don't know what the word says, though. And that place in 1 Peter talks about our healing, being healed from the power of sin in our lives. But the Hebrew passage, but the word that's used there is the word that's commonly used for physical healing. The place in Isaiah, he says, our griefs and our sicknesses, and it's the Hebrew word for sicknesses. So here's what I want to say to you. Everything and every favor and every blessing in the Christian life flows from the finished work of Christ. Period. I would have said that 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Now my experience is that every person I pray for isn't healed. That's more so in the West than other places. So there are things I think I know, we don't have time to talk about, but there are things I don't know. But all I do know is that Jesus provisionally healed us of our pains, our griefs, our sorrows, and our sicknesses 2,000 years ago. Provisionally. Provisionally. He provisionally set us free from the power of sin 2,000 years ago. That's at least a foundational thing, meant to give us faith that the right to pray for people with the expectation that they're going to be healed is ours. Because provisionally, Jesus has done it all. I used to never pray when I'm praying for the sick, and by stripes you were healed. I've watched people use that to make people feel guilty all the time, especially in years past. Well, if you're not healed, it's like a faith. It's like, you know, all I want to do is just stand on the word and know that I have a right to pray for you, expecting you to be healed, because Jesus' finished work on the cross. Part of the fall is sorrow, grief, depression, anxiety, shame, all those things, pains, griefs, and sickness. So, of course, in this passion of Christ, he came to set us free, to make us whole, to set us free from the consequences of the fall. In the end, the final victory is going to be even death has no victory over us. So I would just encourage you, as we come at every Eucharist and stand at the foot of the cross, we come expecting. Stop carrying the bitterness. Stop carrying the grief. Stop it. Jesus said, it's finished. Let it go. Release your pains and sorrows, sicknesses to the cross, where Jesus provided healing for us. Well, you say, well, what if I don't get healed? Well, then next day come do it again. I don't know. But I'd rather you believe too much than not believe at all. One of the things the cross does is challenge us to no longer be controlled by unbelief and cynicism. Let's just dare to stand on the word. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.